I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. It's been a while since I actually had a guest on, but this is something that I've talked about with my guest and just about getting her on. But this is actual mutual friend of ours when it comes to just Ernie. He was a great guest on here earlier this year. But today we have Brianna Butler, who is a registered dietitian and nutritionist and also a former professional athlete. She actually played in the WNBA and overseas for 3 years. And it's actually funny because I actually have a coach who knows you. You may not know him, but basically just said Brianna is like the real deal. she got a lot of buckets in her time playing college. So definitely happy to have her on. Brianna, thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so to give people a little bit more background who may not necessarily know who you are, and they've been living under a rock like me, kind of talk a little bit about just maybe you kind of playing and maybe, you know, a little bit about your playing career and how that kind of segued into you going into nutrition and now working with your sister with your own company, Power Portions.
Yeah. So playing wise, I would say, first of all, basketball was probably the only sport that I took like seriously. everything else just wasn't interesting to me. And I just immediately just developed a love for the sport. So from Houston, Texas, where, you know, when I was coming up in high school, we had a hotbed for basketball. A lot of the top players in WNBA are from that area. So it was really awesome to play there, get exposure, and actually end up playing. I was playing on a West Coast team, so West Coast Premier or West Coast, what started out to be West Coast All-Stars and is now West Coast Premier. And so that kind of gave me some additional exposure to different places and different universities across the country. Was a McDonald American, ended up signing to go to USC. After visiting the campus, I just truly fell in love with it, like loved the place. But while I was there, I knew I had a love for nutrition. I loved it almost just as much as I love basketball. But while I was there, for me, my focus mainly was basketball. Got my degree in human performance and minored in nutrition. Did that, you know, completed that, finished strong. But I was like, yeah, this nutrition stuff is cool, but I want to go pro. I worked my whole life, you know, to go pro. And I never wanted to think like, okay, what if I would have tried, or what if, you know, this and that. So I ended up getting drafted to the Washington Mystics, wasn't ready, you know, went in there like, honestly, like big eyed and so nervous, and ended up getting released. But I signed with Phoenix later that year and kind of stuck there. Really enjoyed my time playing in the WNBA. And I mean, in college too, obviously, like when you're in college, you become this superstar, right? Like you are the focal point of the team, as well as other players. I mean, we had such a stacked team. Myself, Jackie Jamelos was on that team. My sister, Stephanie Gilbreth, who was a top five coming out of college, out of high school as well. Ashley Corral. I mean, we had so much talent. Haley Dunham. And so it was an awesome team. But then once you go pro, it's just another level. Like it is another level of competition. Everyone's great. I mean, everyone from number one on the team all the way down to that 13th player. And so it was an awesome experience for me to play WNBA. And then also overseas, your eyes get open to a lot of things, culture. And that's when I was overseas, was actually when I really started focusing more on nutrition. I read that I was able to perform much better when I really, really honed in on what I was putting in my body. And so I actually started taking some online classes to work towards getting my registered dietitian's license while I was mm-hmm. still playing. I knew basketball would end one day, and I knew at the time that I could utilize the stuff that I was learning in my game to help
right.
performance. So I was almost using myself as a guinea pig. And so during that time, it really helped me develop even more of a passion for dietetics and nutrition. So once I officially retired in 2015, I went on to get my master's in clinical nutrition from UT Southwestern Medical Center. And from there have just been, you know, loving sports and loving nutrition, really combining the two together, because I've had a lot of opportunities to work within the sports realm, but on the mm-hmm. dietetic side. So a little bit of a different view, you know, but still incorporating the things that I love.
Yeah, I think the main thing that sticks out to me, well, one, that's awesome. You played with Jackie Jamelis. That's yeah. actually a good friend of mine. She's up in SAC, and you know, she's just a dope human being. I think that was awesome. When she said that, I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think what really sticks out to me is obviously one that while you're overseas, you know, that's when you kind of start paying attention. So I want to touch on that just a little bit. Being overseas and obviously different scenarios with different teams. Did you have access to anyone who was kind of in charge of like the diet part of being an athlete? And if you were just kind of on your own, is that kind of what made you kind of get more interested? Because now you're like, wow, I got to take care of this on my own. Let me figure out how to do this as effectively as possible.
Yeah, no, I had to do everything on my own. And that definitely sparked something in me, because I was like, there's no reason why as a professional athlete, I shouldn't have someone in my corner that can really help me with this, you know, because mm-hmm. though I had a passion for it and I was learning it, I wasn't an expert by any means at that point. So it was trial and error because I didn't have anyone that could be that go-to person for nutrition for me at the time, like through my team. So it definitely opened mm-hmm. my eyes to that. I was doing everything on my own and actually learned how to cook healthy while I was overseas, because I knew how to cook, but the way I knew how to cook was, you know, Southern food. I'm from Texas. My grandma would cook every, you know, it was nothing for us to throw together. Sometimes.
Always bigger in Texas.
You know, like mother porch, like that was what I knew. So I learned how to cook being overseas as well, sharing recipes with people. I mean, that's really where it started. And so that was tough for me. Having it be trial and error. And that's what I see with a lot of my athletes that come to me that are professionals that maybe are playing overseas or are in between leagues or whatever, is that they just are looking for someone that they can rely on, that can give them sound nutrition advice, because their team doesn't provide it, or they're in between teams. So they don't have a team. They don't have a staff that they can call and say, hey, y'all have a dietitian that I can talk to. So that was my experience. It was very much so on me.
Okay, got you. And that's one thing that I've come to find out when you get, and don't get me wrong, there are still going to be professionals in the field who, you know, have the mentors and, you know, they're going to have that experience. But I think the people that are kind of pushed to doing it on their own, like you just explaining, like for me, I got hurt, and that's kind of what led to me becoming a strength coach, because mm-hmm. I'm trying to rehab myself. Yeah. And you had to kind of, you know, basically fend for yourself. So it was like, well, if I want to eat, I got to learn how to do this the right way. So,
yeah, exactly.
And then play professional basketball. So mm-hmm. that was like, I always felt like whenever someone's in a position where their back's kind of against the wall, like that kind of brings out, you know, their purpose in a sense.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then one thing that I did want to kind of segue to was just before we get into all the nitty gritty specific questions. So just kind of like going through your page and going through your website, one thing that also stands out is the fact that you were an athlete, and it's not against anyone who was not an athlete and is, you know, a dietitian, nutritionist, anything like that. But, you know, one of your slogans is by athletes for athletes. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this before, but, you know, is it possible that because you're an athlete and you played at the highest level right? Do you feel like some athletes kind of gravitate towards that and kind of gives you a little bit more credibility? Or do you feel like maybe it's more your experience that gives you that credibility when working with some of these NFL, NBA teams and organizations?
I think it's both. I think it starts with the gravitation towards me because I was an athlete. And it's like, okay, she's been there. She's done that. She gets it. Like, she knows exactly what I'm going through. And I think that just makes the introduction much easier. Because when you have a practitioner of some sort that has zero experience from like the playing side of things, it's not that they don't know their stuff, but the introduction is a little more like, oh, I'm a little hesitant. I know you're a professional. I know you likely know what you're talking about, but do you know my sport? Like, do you know what I'm going through? And so it really just makes the introduction much easier and the connection much easier. I think athletes that do meet me feel more comfortable just from the beginning, because typically our conversations don't even start with nutrition. They start with, okay, so you played, like, what was your position? You know, like, things like that. What are your stats? You know, like, all that stuff.
They want to know.
She, like, for real played. And I'm like, yeah, no, I really played. Like, I for real did that. So I think it just makes for a smooth transition. And then I think when it comes to me feeding them information and really talking about nutrition, then it's like, okay, she has the experience too. She's not just an athlete. She doesn't just have the playing experience, but she actually knows what she's talking about. Because, and as an athlete, we all know from jump, you meet someone, okay, great. When they start talking, you can automatically tell if they know their stuff or not. It's almost like an inherent gene that athletes have to be able to recognize the BS, right? So it's like, I meet you, I know from jump street when you start talking, if you know what you're talking about, or if I should just walk away right now. So, you know, having that background as an athlete gets me in the door, and then having the knowledge and the experience opens their ears to really hearing what I'm having to say and trying to implement it into their daily lives.
Yeah. And I honestly, like, I think it's, like you said, a mixture of both. I think even just me, like, playing basketball, me understanding basketball, like, it just helps. Cause I never think about these things until someone tells me and says, hey, because you played basketball, because you've worked with basketball so much, it's almost like you just said, it gets you in the door. And then you still got to finish the job though. Like, you still got to know what you're doing. You can't just play and then just come out here and you don't know what you're doing. But it's just like you said, like, you play the WNBA, you played overseas, USC, and that right there, that's the conversation starter, because now they're interested. And then, I mean, it just goes on in the show, like, just looking at your, you know, your accomplishments, working with all these organizations, it's like, you got to know your stuff. You're going to be working with the NBA, NFL, like, you got to be good at what you do.
Exactly.
Got you. So, diving into some of these questions, these are common questions that I typically get, and then some of them are just on my end selfishly I wanted to hear your perspective, but general rule of thumb, I get this all the time, especially when it comes to basketball players, what are some general rules of thumbs that when it comes to maintaining muscle mass for basketball athletes, and then not even just maintaining muscle mass during the season, but also maybe hydration throughout the season? So they're gonna have practices, they're gonna have games. You know, what are some tips that can help some athletes that are listening to this make sure that they're not losing 20 pounds throughout the course of a season and they're not dehydrated for practice?
Yeah, I would, my number one, and I can't emphasize this enough, getting enough calories in during the season, right? So it's very easy to burn through thousands and thousands of calories in the course of a day. You know, we're not even talking about, like, game, like, seriously, practice or games or whatever, or shoot arounds, whatever you're doing, you have to make sure you're getting enough calories in. There is no way to maintain muscle mass if you are constantly in caloric deficit. Okay, so that's the number one thing. A lot of people think, like, oh, it's just protein, protein, protein. No, it's actually making sure you're just getting enough calories in. So that's my number one thing. Don't short yourself on calories in any way, shape, or form. You have to have them. That is the only way you can maintain that muscle mass. My second rule of thumb when it comes to maintaining muscle mass is, you know, try to get in high calorie foods and snacks anytime that you can, you know. So during the season, it's not, like I said, it's not just focusing on protein, it's focusing on carb, it's focusing on protein, and it's focusing on fat in high levels. So any way that you can add calories, a high amount of calories throughout the day is essential. So smoothies are great. Trail mix is great. Salad dressings, avocados, things that have some extra fat in them, higher calorie foods that you can add to, you know, any meal of the day can be really helpful. Planning things out, having things ready to go is my third rule of thumb. So the first is getting in enough calories. My second is adding in high calorie foods and snacks on top of the meals that you're already planning. Number three, plan out your day, plan out your meals and snacks, because it's really tough to make sure you're getting in enough food when you're having to, you know, rush and make a decision at the last minute because you haven't planned things out. And then it's like, oh, shoot, like, I don't have snacks or a meal, but I got this workout in like an hour. So let me just forget it. I'll just go do the workout, you know, and then I'll eat afterwards. Well, by that time, you know, you've burned even more calories and you haven't replenished anything. So how are you going to get through your workout? How can you maintain that muscle mass? It's impossible. And then when it comes to hydration, that's another really important topic. I mean, I could go on and on and on for days about hydration, but just making sure you're combining water as well as electrolytes. During the season, you're going to be, I mean, even out of season too, but when you sweat, you lose more than water. You lose sodium, you lose magnesium, you lose potassium, zinc, all these things you lose in your sweat. The priority will be the sodium. Because that's what, when you lose too much of that is when you start cramping. So you have to make sure you're getting water as well as electrolytes throughout your day, whether they're, you know, carb heavy electrolytes or no carb electrolytes, whatever. But you have to make sure you're getting that in, because not being hydrated can significantly decrease performance. So I would say those are some of my top things.
Right. I think the most underrated thing that you said out of all that was just even just planning out your day. Mm-hmm. And just even like planning out snacks in advance, because like you said, even with me, like there are times where I just get busy. I'm like, I don't have time to cook.
Yep.
And it's like it's so simple, you know, just like you said, like maybe some trail mix or even just having like protein bars throughout the day or a protein shake.
Yep.
I think it's pretty common, especially with basketball players, because there's so much skill work involved. Mm-hmm. That they're always on the court and, you know, they're just constantly burning calories. Like, yeah. I've never really met basketball players who had great diets because they're always running and always on the court. So they can almost eat anything.
Exactly.
And they're just going to burn that off. But more often than not, like, I get athletes that undereat. And it's, like, surprising because even at the higher levels, doesn't matter what level, right?
Yep.
If they had poor habits at the high school level, college level, like, it's going to be the same thing in the pro level.
Yeah.
So I think that was like a major key that you even brought up, just like that right there. All of it was great insight. One thing I did want to talk about too, and this is like something that I've been kind of looking more into, just the effects of sleep on the athlete or even general population. Mm. What are the effects that sleep have on food choices? If you, you know, have that experience, like say someone sleeps for 4 or 5 hours, you know, how is that going to impact maybe their food choices? And then on top of that, maybe what's going to be the impact that maybe that kind of happens like for them whenever they actually do eat? You know, what are some of the impacts that sleep has on diet and nutrition?
Wow. There are so many impacts that sleep has on diet and nutrition. I mean, so many.
I didn't make it easy on you.
Yeah. It's okay, because I'm going to really focus on like the specific things you asked in regard to like the quality of the diet if you are not sleeping. So beyond the fact that if you get quality sleep, if you don't get quality sleep, it can impact your hormones, it can impact your stress levels, it can impact your recovery. So those are things that we're not even going to touch on right now. But right. In regard to just the diet, so the research shows that For every hour of sleep that you get less than what you actually need, you have an increase in calorie intake the next day. And the increase in those calories are not always high quality calories. Okay. So the types of foods that people typically go after on the next day following a night of minimal sleep are really, really high fat, high saturated fat, high carb type foods. So it's not a balanced diet. And that kind of goes against what we're looking for as an athlete, because even though we're trying to get more calories in, we're contradicting what we're trying to do, because you're not getting in high quality calories, right? So we're not just, the goal is not to just sit up there and eat candy all day. You know, the goal is to have a well-balanced diet where you're increasing calories over the course of the day. But whenever you're not sleeping, the chances are you're going to get more calories in, but they're not going to be the best type of calories that you can get in. And from that, you end up consuming way less vitamins and minerals than you should be. Okay. And then when we dive into consuming less vitamins and minerals over time, that leads to bone injuries, that leads to soft tissue injuries, you know, that leads to less recovery. I mean, there's so many different deficiencies that come, you know, and basketball players already, the majority of them are deficient in vitamin D. So there's so, and there's so many other vitamins and minerals that we could discuss. So in general, when you're not sleeping, you are not getting high quality calories the next day. You're getting more, but you're not getting high quality calories. And in turn, you're getting less of the really, really good stuff, less vitamins, less minerals, you know, that can really be beneficial in keeping your body safe and keeping you available to be able to play.
Right. And like you said, like there, we can get super deep in the weeds, and I'm glad that we're going to keep it to nutrition, but it just, I got interested because I was reading a few articles just on the NBA that they published, I want to say like a year or two ago, just about, you know, how the NBA NBA teams, the travel schedule, obviously before the pandemic, but it was just so crazy that getting sleep was almost like a myth. Like, I think it was Jimmy Butler, he's like going to bed at like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And he's waking up at like 3 or something like that. But I started thinking about the implications, like, okay, on my end, just the performance side, okay, if you're fatigued, you know, you're more likely to obviously decrease in performance, but also get hurt. But I was actually talking to a nutritionist. I was like, hey, well, they're also going to make bad decisions, poor decisions when it comes to their diet. And like that stuck with me. I'm just like, wow, like I never thought about that. But it's just as you said, it's almost like your body's trying to, I guess, like make up for it in a sense, like trying to get more energy in, but it doesn't really care where it's getting the energy from. It's just like, I just need this energy to go. Am I right?
Exactly. 100% for sure. Your body's going to be searching for it, and it, what anything's going to look good at that point.
is that why when people don't sleep, they're like, man, let me just eat this spaghetti real quick.
Wake up, where's the donuts? You know, what is it? Like, wait, what? You know, like, wait a minute. That won't help you at all.
Right. All right. And I think it's the same thing. Like, I also read like a study, I want to say like years ago, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like the lower quality sleep and the lower amount of sleep, I think it was in older individuals, like the more fast food and junk food they would eat. Just like you were just talking about, like anything looks good. It's like, I don't care, that burger's fine at that point.
Exactly. And then over time, when you look at their diets and you do, you know, let's say, because we do a lot of food journals. So I might look at, you know, someone's 5 or 7 day food journal, and you know, it looks unbalanced, and I say, okay, well, you're getting in a lot of calories, but it's really unbalanced. What else is going on? And then you look into their intake paperwork, and it says, oh, well, I'm only sleeping like 4 hours, you know, and it's like, well, let's talk about that, because if you're only sleeping 4 hours and you wake up craving, you know, donuts and pancakes, it's like, okay, well, what's going on? Because those cravings are coming from somewhere, right? Is that hormone shift? You know, what's going on? And in 90% of the time, it's a lack of sleep.
And I think that's just amazing how everything is connected. Mm-hmm. Not even just in the human body, but just in general health and wellness.
Yeah.
I was like, as soon as I read that, I was like, yeah, Bree's gonna get that question. So there's this popular, I think everyone at this point has seen it, popular documentary on Netflix, Game Changers. So I've heard a lot of back and forth about it. Like, you know, it's positive. They love it. I've read articles about how they kind of cherry picked information. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be, I guess, more of an opinion on your end. But do you believe that game changers is something that could be beneficial to maybe someone who's interested in going into maybe the vegan or just a more green diet? Or do you feel like that may be something that maybe like it's just like an added bonus on top of whatever information they're giving? Like, do you feel like that is a high quality documentary that people should be watching in order to get more information about vegan and vegetarian diets?
I would say I have mixed reviews.
It's all good.
I do agree with the fact that some information was cherry picked, for sure. And you're going to see that in pretty much every documentary that you see for the most part. I do think the positive side of things when you do watch it is that it does kind of incite change and thoughts about change. However, it does it in a fear-mongering way, which I don't like. And so I think if you're looking for a high quality source of nutrition information about going vegan or vegetarian or more plant-based, then you need to reach out to a dietitian and have that conversation one-on-one. Because when you look at a documentary like Game Changers, the information can be skewed. It can make it seem like, oh, you shouldn't have any meat at all. Or you should, you know, like if you have meat, like your body's going to be inflamed forever. And that's not the case. So that's why I think I don't recommend people watch it. I recommend if you've heard about going plant-based or vegan or vegetarian, then you need to reach out to someone and ask direct questions. Because when you watch something like that, it can scare you into thinking that everything that you're doing is wrong, even if you've just made the decision to incorporate more fruits and vegetables, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it almost comes across as this all or nothing principle of go vegan or don't ever perform the way you want to perform. And that's simply not the case, right? Like the research shows there's so many different ways that you can perform the way you want to. For example, you know, they kind of demonize milk and dairy products and any kind of animal protein. But a lot of the research, when we talk about the best types of proteins for muscle synthesis, we're talking about whey and casein proteins, right? So these are milk-based proteins, and simply because they're complete proteins, they have a lot of high quality nutrients in them, and so do other animal products. So if someone chooses to incorporate those things, that's totally fine. There's other parts of your diet that really can be addressed as well that cause inflammation. Are you sitting around eating a ton of added sugar every day? Are you not
right
at all? You know, like there's a lot of different things that you can do to reach those performance goals. And obviously, if you are interested in doing plant-based, you shouldn't be forced into thinking that there's only one way to do it. Okay. Because that's not the case. And so that's why I say I have, you know, mixed thoughts on it, because I do like the idea of it encouraging athletes to eat more fruits and vegetables. Like, you know, you definitely need them. But when you're looking at the overall wealth of research that is out there, it talks about plant-based in a manner of incorporating more fruits and vegetables and decreasing the amounts of animal proteins, not necessarily having to absolutely eliminate it. Though there is research out there that talks about the benefits of being vegan and vegetarian, there's also some difficulties that come with that, with being vegan and vegetarian. You find a lot of iron deficiencies. You find a lot of B12 deficiencies. You find a lot of people with unbalanced macronutrient intake. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things that come with both, which is why I say, like, if you're interested, just reach out to someone like a dietitian that can give you the lowdown on it. Don't take that documentary for what it is and just be like, this, I need to, you know, like,
right,
everything's wrong with what I'm doing right now, because that's probably not the case.
Right. And I think you bring up a good point. Like you just talked about, it's getting athletes or just active individuals to finally sit down and say, okay, like, let me throw a salad in there. But I think to your point, it's almost like their diets are so bad that, you know, when I hear a lot of stories about athletes that go vegan or vegetarian, they're like, wow, I feel amazing. And it's like, bro, you're eating cheeseburgers all day. So exactly. Of course, like when you start eating more greens, like of course yeah. You're going to feel a lot better. So it's almost kind of like, you know, that situation where it's they're on one end of the extreme and they go to the other yeah. end and then they're going to swear by it. But like you said, I think it's just important. I mean, for me, it's all about balance, like moderation.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, cool. Like I enjoy my sweets. I probably shouldn't eat them every single day. So mm-hmm. it's almost like just balancing it. But I had that question because obviously when it came out, we saw Kyrie Irving, we saw, you know, Chris Paul, we saw a bunch of people that were, you know, high level players becoming and going vegan.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it was just like this big thing in the NBA. And yeah. then I started getting players coming to me like, oh, should I go vegan? And I'm just sitting there like, I mean, I wouldn't say that. Let's just start taking some cheeseburgers out. And we'll go from there.
I got the same thing, the same influx of inquiries. And I think something that also goes unspoken about is the mindfulness part of it. You know, like you watch that and, you know, it kind of scares you into doing whatever. And so now you're thinking about, okay, like, what am I putting on my plate? You know, what am I actually putting on my plate? What am I putting in my body? How does it make me feel? And so that mindfulness benefit doesn't have to just come from going vegan. Okay. You can be mindful about what you're putting in your body just following a regular high quality diet. So that mindfulness right. can change a lot of things for you. And that kind of talk dives into like the psychological aspect of it. But mindfulness is a huge component too. But again, like all of these benefits that you see, you can still get them from incorporating animal products.
Right. And honestly, like that, I'm actually going to clip that and just send that to all my athletes. Just look, they asked me this question, like, here, listen to this 2-3 minutes and then let's have a discussion.
Yeah.
But for sure. One thing I want to talk about, and this is kind of like segueing from Game Changers, but saying similar topic, in my opinion. So we see a lot of, in my opinion, like quick fixes in fad diets.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say vegetarian and going vegan is a fad diet, but it is something that, in my opinion, became more of a fad diet. But can we talk a little bit about maybe the importance of losing and gaining weight over time versus mm-hmm. quick fixes with those fad diets and maybe some things that need to be taken into consideration if someone were to try to jump into a fad diet?
Yeah. First and foremost, if you're considering a fad diet and you're an athlete, just nix it right there. So fad diets are not typically developed for athletes. And so mm-hmm. I never, ever recommend that kind of stuff. So for example, an athlete trying to go keto, or, you know, I mean, there are all kinds of fad diets out there.
Diet for everything. You know,
there are smart ways to go about doing whatever it is that you're trying to do, even if you want to incorporate lower carb or even if you want to go vegan or vegetarian, like there are smart ways to do it. And so that's why I say don't do a Google search and find this diet that Susie is doing down the street, because you and Susie are two totally different people. You need way more than she does, right? So
right.
you can't take that information that is made for the general public and literally try to use that in your own life as an athlete, okay? So you can't generalize recommendations. Mm-hmm. And so that's the biggest mistake that I see a lot of athletes making, is they see something online or they see something on Instagram and they think they can automatically make those implementations into their life. And it's like, wait a minute, you have some things that you have to consider, right? Like you're mid-season. You don't be, you know, doing a juice cleanse right now. Like what? So, you know, that's why those conversations need to be had on a one-on-one basis. If there's something you're considering or you want to do, ask someone that knows something about it before implementing it. Second of all, when it comes to fad diets and especially like weight loss, because the majority of them are geared towards weight loss, I think it's important to realize that though someone might lose weight really, really quickly, it's not sustainable. And during that time, there can be some detrimental effects. So for example, as an athlete, if you decide that you are going to go on a juice cleanse in the middle of the season, what do you think is going to happen? You're not getting enough carbs. you're probably not even getting enough hydration, even with the juice cleanse. You know, you're not getting the full recovery that you need. So your performance is going to just go down into the ground and beyond. And so it's just really important to understand that those changes that come from doing those fad diets are 90% less likely to be sustainable. Okay. And then when it comes down to the research, we look at weight loss. Weight loss comes from caloric deficits, period. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in any way, shape, or form, it can happen. So that means that you don't have to take out every carb in your diet to lose weight. You don't have to, you know, do a juice cleanse to lose weight. It might happen quicker if you do one of these other things, but is that going to be healthy for you? Are you going to end up with deficiencies afterwards? Are you not going to be able to perform and utilize the weight loss that you had because it's so quick and you can't sustain that? I mean, there's so many negatives that come from quick weight loss, and a lot of them boil down to impacting your performance in a negative way and impacting your body in a negative way. So any body changes that you want to make need to be made over time. When it comes to weight gain, you don't want to put on 15 pounds in 2 weeks. Your body is not going to be able to run up and down that court and adjust the way it needs to adjust if you throw that weight at it that quick, right? So you need to give it time to adjust and be able to utilize the weight and move your weight around properly. So a lot of these protocols, when it comes to weight loss and weight gain, I always suggest doing that in the off season. That's the best time to do trial and error. That's the best time to see how your body's going to respond and get used to a weight that you want to be at. Okay. So fad diets are not going to incorporate all of that. They're just going to throw something at you that's made for the general public, not made for athletes, and you shouldn't be using it. So that's my final thought on that.
All right. No, I love it. I think it's important because like you just touched on, like athletes will just think, oh man, like, you know, mid season, you know, like going into conference play, they're thinking, okay, cool. Like, let me drop 5 pounds. It's like, mm-hmm. man, this is the worst time to be doing it. And then like you talked about, they'll try to do it quickly.
Yeah.
And so you're just adding this, you know, I don't want to say like dysfunction, but you're adding a bad idea on top of another bad idea.
Yeah.
And I just think it's one of those things that they hear from me so much that I'm like, I got to get someone else to say it. So I was like, I'm glad you said that. But I kind of want to branch off that a little bit. So a little bit more, I guess, general population. So when it comes to like, and my girlfriend's going to look at me when I say this, when it comes to like a juice cleanse and mm-hmm. things like that, what are your thoughts on maybe going with some of those type of deals? Because I know we've done them in the past, and I was just curious and maybe some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, when it comes to like general health and wellness, I typically don't recommend juice cleanses because people think that the juice cleanses are just going to completely eliminate every problem that they have health-wise. And that's just not the case. And then also, you know, on the flip side, if you want to do something for a short period of time and that leads you to eating more fruits and vegetables, eating less junk food, eating out at fast food restaurants less, then I'm okay with that, right? So you have to know that it's not sustainable. It's not something that you should be doing on a regular basis. But if it's something you want to do and you think it's going to help you get the ball rolling to eat better in general, and then you'll finally be ready to like incorporate a really balanced and healthy diet, then by all means, do what you need to do. I mean, those are the results that we have seen is that people will do that kind of stuff, though, be it beneficial or be it research-based or not, they'll do it. And oftentimes, it might invoke a better mindset about eating healthier overall. So that's really the only benefit that I see from it. not really much more, because with the weight loss, it typically rebounds pretty quickly. Because a lot of people will do a cleanse, or they'll do something and they'll lose, you know, 15 pounds. And then as soon as the cleanse is over, they'll binge eat on their favorite foods for a couple weeks. And then, you know, that weight is back on. So that's why I say it's really just not sustainable, and the weight rebounds very quickly. But I think if you need it as a Kickstarter, you think it's going to get your mind right, then, you know, do it. I don't think that you need it to detox much. You know, you can help your liver out by eating healthier for sure. but your liver, you know, and your kidneys are going to remove a lot of toxins, pretty much every toxin for you. That's what they're there for. But, you know, you can decrease the stress that is put on your liver and your kidneys by putting more nutritious foods in your body overall. And so that's, I think, the thought behind detoxes and things like that. But, you know, you don't need a juice to get that. You can do that by eating more fruits and vegetables on a regular basis.
Right. No, it's funny because, like you said, you all have, and this is even me when I was younger, too, when I was actually playing basketball all the time. Like I even went on this 2-week thing where I was just like, oh, I'm not going to eat more keto, but also yeah. kind of like a juice cleanse and same thing. Like, you know, okay, yeah, I lost weight, but then same thing you just talked about rebounding. Cause now I'm like, all right, let me go back and eat my favorite Chinese food because blah, blah, yeah. blah. And I got to get you back on here again, but the psychological part of it, I don't think a lot of people talk about that,
yeah.
but it was just like psychologically, I was just like, okay, let me go back and eat this stuff. And it's just like huh. all the weight you lost, you just put right back on. But
exactly.
I do agree in the sense where you say, hey, if it's kickstarts, you know, healthier habits, then let's use it for that. But like, let's not, I don't want to rely on
right.
just this one, just one, like, I guess fad diet or whatever the case is.
Safe. That's exactly it needs to be safe because, you know, juicing fruits and vegetables is one thing. It's another thing to take fat loss pills. You know, it's another thing to take right. laxatives. It's another thing, you know, like it's another thing to take some shake that is not third party tested as, you know, for anybody. Even my wellness people, I don't recommend anything that's not third party tested. So, mm-hmm. you know, if it's something that is going to cause harm to your body, you definitely need to be, you know, side-eyeing that product because it's like, wait a minute, I don't know if this is actually safe for me to take, you know, like I said, fresh fruits and vegetables is one thing, smoothies, you know, but when you start looking at products that you have to buy that are promising something, definitely don't trust that. I can admit that when I was in college, believe it or not, I actually did a skinny tea. And I saw it on some, I don't even know where I saw it. It had to have been social media somewhere. I bought it and tried it out. I had the worst stomach pains ever. It was so bad, you know? And so you have to just think about, one, the reason why you're doing it, you know, is it safe? You know, does it seem like it has just, you know, things that you would eat on a day-to-day basis incorporated in there? And are they selling you something? Do you have to pay for something for it to help you? And if so, that's a negative thing for sure.
Right, right. No, I definitely agree. Like you said, safety is the number one thing. I wouldn't go into a gas station and get these fat loss pills. Like I've seen yes. them and I'm just like, I always wonder, like, do these work? Like right. who buys these? Oh man, I'm glad you were like kind of the test subject. You got the tea that gave you yeah. stomach pains. That's all I need to know. couple more questions before we wrap this up. But my girlfriend wanted me to ask you this really bad. When it comes, and it kind of segues perfectly, but just talking about the smoothies and fruit smoothies, maybe veggie smoothies, whatever the case is. Can you talk a little bit about food pairings and maybe like, should you mix certain fruits together or veggies? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I do think food pairings are really essential, especially when you're talking about periodization of nutrition and surrounding things around your workouts or, you know, surrounding things around your sleep schedule, your wake schedule, things like mm-hmm. that. But when it comes to pairing, it's not so much pairing like certain fruits together or certain vegetables together. It's more of a matter of pairing macronutrients together. So for example, when it comes to snacks, I almost always mm-hmm. recommend pairing two food groups together because typically mm-hmm. in those different food groups, you're going to have a different combination of macronutrients. Okay. So like when I say pairing food groups, maybe you're pairing a carbohydrate and a fat together. Maybe that looks like an apple and some peanut butter. Or banana and some peanut butter, or maybe you're pairing a fat and a protein together. So maybe that's a hard boiled egg and I don't know, maybe some olives just to kind of throw that out there. So there's different right. types of pairings that you can put together, but it's all about the pairing of the macronutrients and when you do it. Okay. So when you are pre-workout, I don't recommend, and this is for like mainly basketball players, because it changes depending on the sport or if you're wellness or whatever. So, because a lot of people, you know, wellness, maybe they go into a workout, if they're just doing like a 30-minute one, then maybe they don't eat, you know, it's not required. Basketball players, you're going into a two-hour workout, maybe you need to get a quick snack in. Well, your focal point needs to be carbohydrate, because that's going to be what you're going to be pairing, that's going to be what you're using first and foremost. Then you want to incorporate maybe a little bit of fat, not a ton, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't want to load up on protein that's not necessary pre-workout. And then you also don't want to load up on a ton of fat, because both a ton of fat and a ton of protein can decrease the absorption of the carbohydrate, which you need to absorb and utilize that ASAP. Okay. So it's really important kind of how you pair your snacks together pre-workout. Post-workout, it's a little bit different. So you're prioritizing protein, but you still need that carb and you still can incorporate that fat. But it's not a matter of needing to utilize that carb right away. So your anabolic window, when you talk about being able to absorb things right away, is mainly focusing on carbs. So you need to get those carbs in right away. But you have time to utilize the protein. But still, after your workout, combining carbs, protein, and fat for recovery is essential. So it's very important, the macronutrient combinations that you put together and how you use them when you use them.
Right. And that's honestly not talked about enough. I know she brings it up to me all the time, but just like I talked about, just like the low hanging fruit, the major keys you talked about, just macronutrients like fat and protein. Mm-hmm. And then even like the timing of it, like when, like, you know, depending on what your, this goes back to planning out your day. Mm-hmm. If you know you have a workout at 1 p.m., okay, well, make sure you're energized for that workout.
Exactly.
And depending on how long it is and things like that, sport, like all that matters. But I think it's also very important that when every athlete hears this too, and I'm gonna allow you like to plug yourself that way they can get in touch with you, is to at the end of the day speak with someone who has the experience, who is certified to give out this information and also help you, you know, narrow down the details of what it means for you to have these type of nutrition plans and diets. So with that being said, he touched a little bit more on power portions. I know we talked about this off the record, but you know, what is power portions, and you know, maybe what are some things you guys have that's being set up in the near future, and how can they get in touch with you? Three parts.
Yeah. So with Power Portions, we are a nutrition company. So we provide the individualized plans, the courses, the team talks. We do everything that you could think about nutrition wise. And so we work with individuals. A lot of professional athletes are some of our main clientele. We also do wellness as well. But if you're an athlete and you're looking for nutrition services, definitely check us out at gopowerportions.com. Or you can find us on Instagram. So me personally, you can follow me at TheAthletician, or you can follow our company page at @power_portions. We're always dropping free knowledge. So check it out, you know, check out our blogs. So you can just learn more. That's our whole goal, is to teach and help guide our athletes and wellness individuals to living healthier lifestyles and reaching their peak performance. We do offer, like I said, one-on-one services and packages virtually too. So though we're based out of Houston as a company, we meet with clients all over the world. So if you are interested, we can definitely do something virtual for sure. And then we do have some things coming up in the future. I know we're gonna be working on a sports nutrition course. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that, as well as another course for retired athletes. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Keep your ears open. Follow us on Instagram. But if you're needing something right away, definitely reach out to us. You can email me specifically, Bree@gopowerportions.com, or you can check out the website. Again, that's gopowerportions.com.
Right. And Bree just literally gave you, there's no excuse. She gave you every way you can get in touch with her, all her services. Like, that was probably the best plug I've heard since I've been doing this show. So please, like, everyone, please get in touch with her. She's, as you all heard, she's extremely knowledgeable. And I think this is something that every athlete needs, right? Whether I talk about strength conditioning or not, this is something that you keep lifelong, right? So your ability to even just learn from her in the meantime, and then so you're able to put these things together as you get older.
Yeah.
But Bree, thank you so much. I won't take too much of your time. I know you got to go, but I want to say thank you for coming on the podcast. And we got to get you back on here. There's so much to dive into.
Yeah.
I feel like we just barely touched the surface.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I love talking sports and nutrition.
Got you. And if you need anything, you want to hop back on anytime soon, just let me know. I got you.
Wonderful. Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.